Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians? We're going to pick up there where we left off a couple of weeks ago, where Paul, in writing this epistle to the church at Corinth, is outlining how the Holy Spirit moves in a service. And the church at Corinth needed that instruction because they had genuine operations of the Holy Spirit transpiring in their church. But at the same time, they also had people in the church who wanted to draw attention upon themselves and were saying and doing things that were not of the Holy Spirit. So that's what he's dealing with here. Sometime back, not too awfully long ago, somebody took me to task in a church service we had because they said, well, there was no message. We had a great move of the Holy Spirit, beautiful messages and tongues and interpretation, and I had to correct him. I said, no, I said, you're wrong on that. I said, there was a message. Because I said, whenever the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues and interpretation, and what is interpreted lines up with the Word of God, that's a message from the very throne room of God. I said, so we had a message. there was a message there, and that's, we need to be cognizant of that, and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks that way, and take heart and heed to what He's saying. Sometimes years ago, before I fully understood the movement and operation of the Holy Spirit, I mean, I've got a lot to learn yet. I'm not saying I know everything. But there was a tendency on the part of the church to where if there was a message in tongues and interpretation, everything just shut down. I mean, everybody just, and it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. We should reverence that. We should respect it. But go on with the service. Most importantly, quite often, I've seen it, and I'm sure you have too, when the Holy Spirit speaks, He will give a specific instruction to do something in that message in tongues and interpretation. It will be to praise the Lord. It will admonish us to maybe pray or to seek His face or to give us some direction on what He's about to do, about how He's about to bless, about something He's about to do. And man, we need that to happen in the church. I mean, it's good to get, preaching and teaching. That's all wonderful. But what these gifts do, and the reason they're so vitally important that they operate in the church is number one, and you must know this, any manifestation of the Holy Spirit, if it is in fact the Holy Spirit of God, it will bring glory and honor to the person of Jesus Christ. Now let that sink in. Excuse me there. The McDonald's cheeseburger I had was speaking there. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will always glorify the person of Jesus Christ. And if anything else is drawing attention, I mean like maybe a particular minister, ministry, or even an individual in the church, the Holy Spirit doesn't glorify man. He doesn't glorify ministries. He glorifies Jesus Christ. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would speak of Him. And He speaks of Jesus only. He reveals, and the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to get into here in this chapter 12, when we get there, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit, you'll see that there are three series of gifts. There's power gifts, gifts that do something, vocal gifts, gifts that say something, and revelatory gifts, something the Holy Spirit reveals to us about. It could be about Jesus. It could be about something going on in our lives. But the main thing to remember is that the Holy Spirit only glorifies Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 2 now. That's where we left off last week. Verse 3. Paul said in writing to this church at Corinth, and if you don't understand the impetus behind his what the Holy Spirit's saying here through the great apostle, you may get confused. So let's read it. Chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You think, well, why would someone call Jesus accursed? There were segments in this Corinthian church that Paul had established on the cross of Christ, upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And segments of this church had fallen back under the Judaistic law. And they had gone back and are trying to keep the law. And what they were literally having in the Corinthian church services, now get this, was people standing up and demeaning the name and person of Jesus Christ and encouraging the people to go back under law and to live under. Now think of that. And obviously a false message. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to go back under law. In any capacity, He leads us to Christ. And when Paul said, you know, they were actually standing up saying Jesus is accursed. I mean, maybe they were saying you don't need Jesus, in other words, or else you need Jesus in the law. In tongues and interpretation. Now, here's something we need to learn about, especially the vocal gifts. Every gift of the Holy Spirit, you have to exercise discernment. As an individual believer, corporately it should be too, but as an individual believer, you must exercise discernment. In other words, check that gift and see if it's glorifying the name and person of Jesus Christ. Do not ever blindly set and think that you don't have to or you don't have the right to discern anybody who claims to be operating in a gift of the Spirit. That's good. That's healthy. And anybody who wants the real movement of the Holy Spirit in the church will teach their people to do that. Now, you have segments of the modern church today where these so-called apostles and prophets say, well, what we say can't be judged because we have a special anointing. Now, that teaching is out there, folks. And that's again, in just another fashion, it goes back to what we're reading right here in chapter 3. That's an affront to the person of Jesus Christ. To say that somebody has reached a spiritual plateau or a spiritual level, and they're in so tight with God that what they get is coming right from the throne room and there is no need to judge them. Or if you do, here's the big one, of course, we've heard it so many times before, you're touching God's anointed. Let me tell you, as your pastor, spiritually discern everything that goes on. Because let me tell you, when you discern that it is of God, it's great blessing. It's great blessing. Because when the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus in the church through these great gifts of the Holy Spirit, it brings blessing to everybody. It brings joy. The greatest thing, I believe, hallelujah, is when the Holy Spirit moves. It is an absolute confirmation that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. It's an absolute confirmation that Jesus is alive. And that ought to bring us great joy. How many times have you heard people say, well, I wish there'd be proof? Well, you've got it right there. Every time the Holy Spirit moves to glorify Jesus, He moves on the congregation to praise and worship Jesus. You're seeing the greatest affirmation you could ever see. You're seeing the greatest testimony you could ever see to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Hallelujah. Praise God. But contrary and conversely to that, one of the most abhorrent things you can ever set under is somebody claiming to be operating in the Holy Spirit when they're not. And that's in effect what we're dealing with here, what the apostle was dealing with in the Corinthian church. He's saying no man speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. And Mike, I know you've done a great study on this, so help me out if I get too far left to center here. Jump in if you feel like it. Ken Copeland, and I've heard the tapes, has supposedly given messages in tongues and interpretation concerning this Jesus died spiritually doctrine, saying that Jesus is cursed. Now think of that. And when it says, no man speaking but the Spirit of God, something else we need to bring out here. In the spiritual world, there is no gray area. There is no middle ground. In the spiritual world, everything emanates from one of two sources, the Holy Spirit or demon spirits. You need to know everything. There is no, we tend to think about that, like that goofy guy, Kim Clement. You know, I've heard people talk about him and say, well, he gets some things right. I tell you, if you ever want to laugh and cry at the same time, watch this guy in action. I mean, and there's others, but he's just coming to mind right now. I mean, it's pathetic. But it's one of the most abhorrent things to happen is to have somebody claim to be operating in the Holy Spirit. And in actuality, they're operating under a demon spirit. And the church, in many instances, is afraid to challenge that. Because Kim's one of those guys who will tell you, you can't judge him. He's God's anointed. And, you know, and I heard him on one of his shows say this. This is just so. He said, I believe the day is coming when the prophets in the church will speak with 70% accuracy. I thought, my Lord, don't you, just for a minute, when you hear something like that, don't it make you wish we were back under law in the Old Testament? Huh? You know why? Because you missed it one iota in the Old Testament. You got stones. Rocks started flying if you missed it. You know? And the standard today is even higher because now we have the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We cannot accept, my brothers and sisters, every spiritual thing coming down the pike. Judge all things. Now, then there's the other big one folks like to get into. Well, the Bible says don't judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That's talking about judging someone's eternal destination. No man has the right to do that. Only one person can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, you'll know them by their fruits. You have to judge the spiritual fruit to see if it's emanating from demon spirits or the Holy Spirit. Because I'm here to tell you, demon spirits are in churches by the multiplied millions. I watched one this week. Now, you Chris put me on to it. A lot of times I stumble on it. Yeah, here we go, Chris. You ought to know you give me something like that. I can't hold that in, but I'm not going to name names. But Chris put me onto this. At the start of the worship service, they're playing a Van Halen song by the rock group Van Halen. What's the name of that song, Chris? Sing it out now if you know it. Jump, yeah, yeah. Remember that one? Might as well jump. Go ahead and jump. They were playing Van Halen for their worship service. I wish I was making it up. I really do. Bringing something that is devilish into the church to start your worship service with. And then I heard the preacher preach, and God help him. God help this church and these people that are so misguided. Because it's obvious this guy who's claiming to be pastor is not even called to preach, let alone be a pastor. But let me tell you something, though. That's demon spirits behind that. There's an appeal, and there is an allure to that. It's demon spirits seducing the body of Christ. I'll never forget, and I got the chance to meet him one time. And that was Brother Dave Wilkerson, who just recently was killed in a car accident. And he, like all of us, he was not a perfect man. He had his faults. But I believe he was a man of God. I really do. Met him once in New York City just for about 10 minutes, and very cordial, nice, very little guy. He's only about this tall, a tiny guy. No, there's nothing. No, no. Thanks, Corey. I wasn't suggesting that there was. Not gonna be like Randy Newman, who had that song years ago called Such a Stir, Short People. Remember that? Short people. I'll shut up now. I don't want to go Van Halen on you. Don't want demon spirits to be controlling me here. But in any event, I met Brother Wilkerson, but I'll never forget an article that he wrote one time about this Christian rock music when it was just first really getting big in the church. He went to this rock concert, and there was this group, their name was Striper. I don't know if anybody remembers them. That's going way back for, you remember them, Dennis? They'd wear these skin-tight stretch pants that with stripes all over them, you know, black and white stripes and shirts, and they were supposedly, they had smoke bombs and lights, all the rock and roll regalia of the day. But and they claimed to be Christian. I mean, they would set to this play to this 20 decibel rock music that would blow your ears out. Because I went to one of their concerts too one time, just to check it out and see if it was as bad as, and it was. It was as bad as it could be. But in any event, their lyrics would, they would try to praise Jesus in the midst of all this. You know, the lyric of their song might be something about Jesus, but it got lost in translation. I mean, you couldn't. But Brother Wilkerson went to one of their concerts. They invited him. They said, come and see how the Holy Spirit moves. Come and see, you know, how God's using us. And Brother Wilkerson wanted to stay open. He said, God, if I'm missing something, you know, he was that kind of person. He said, he was, his thought was, if I'm missing something, I don't want to miss out on a move of that you're in. And I don't want to condemn that what you're doing. If you are using this. So he went to the concert. And he saw, he began sensing from the moment the concert started the demonic forces that were around the entire thing. And he said in the middle of the concert, the Holy Spirit knocked him flat on his back. And he said he couldn't move. And he was not one given to fancifulness or wild, esoteric spiritual experiences. He was a man much like Brother Swackert, who wanted the real thing, you know. And he said as he was laying there, the Lord allowed him to open his eyes. He said he couldn't move. And he said the Lord allowed him to sit up on the ground just halfway. And he said when his eyes flew open, on that stage he saw surrounding every singer a band of demons. And he said Satan stood above him, or what he thought was the face of Satan, pointing and laughing at the crowd and saying, you think you're praising Jesus, but you're praising me. I believe that was real, personally. Because of, but that's really what can go on in the church if there's no discernment. If there's no judging, if there's no reining in of the human spirit, if there's no discernment to want to know, God, is this of you or is this of the devil? And it's important, I can't stress it enough to you. Those are the only two spiritual sources that there are. Please know that. Don't ever fall into thinking, well, you know, it's maybe. No, there's no maybe. It's either of the Holy Spirit or it's from demon spirits. And I've got nothing against this side right here by turning. You all over here are feeling real holy right now, ain't you? I says either the Holy Spirit or it's demon spirits. And these folks over here are going, what you got against us, you know? I'm not discerning nothing. What's that, Cora? Yeah, it's the shorter side over here. But that's what we're addressing here. That's why Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, wrote this and said, no man speaking with the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. Now it's a simple statement, but as you tell, we've spent about 20-30 minutes on it. It's very deep and important. That you understand every movement of the Holy Spirit will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. No one else. No one else. So he says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And you must understand, we got to understand too, to put it in the context, to call someone Lord in biblical times, at the time this book of Corinthians was written, it meant you gave your all to that individual. It was not thrown around loosely like we throw it around in the modern world. To call someone Lord then, and that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Accept the Holy Spirit speak through you and be filling you. You don't know how to praise the Lord right. And I'm here to tell you that it's coming back to the cross. If you don't understand the cross, you have nothing to praise God about. You don't know how to praise God. If you don't understand the cross, but if you do understand it, you don't need a whole lot to get you going. Praise God. Amen, Chris. Ain't that right? You don't need a whole lot to get you going if you understand. I was bound by my sin. I was on my way to hell. But my loving Savior came and took my place on Calvary's cross, bore the penalty that should have been mine. Hallelujah. And by His grace and mercy, he gives to me when I believe on him and believe that he rose from the dead. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because the Holy Spirit's filling that person's life because they understand who Jesus is and what he's done for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And again, this statement here is very, very deep. It's not something to skim over lightly. No man can call him Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's resident in you as an individual believer, that means our faith is in the right place. Praise God. And which is always the cross. Oh, I feel that tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit moving tonight, and we need him so. My Lord, I crave to be in his presence. Problems get solved, burdens get lifted, spirits become joyful that were sad. So many wonderful things happen. I don't know why someone would want to turn to Van Halen when you have the blessed Holy Spirit of God. But they turn that way because why? Because you can play Van Halen and get glory for yourself. Let me say it like this. I'm checking myself here. Let me say it right. Satan, for a time, if it suits his purposes, he don't mind sharing his glory. He has none that compares to the Lord, but I'm talking about the glory of this world and the things of this world. He'll share that if it suits his purposes for a time. But he will always make you pay when he shares that glory. A higher price than you can pay. Why do you think most rock stars get so messed up on drugs and alcohol? For a time, they walk in the limelight. They get it all. Look at them, that poor old guy on American Idol. What's his name? Steven Tyler. Poor guy's brain so fried, he can't hardly put a coherent sentence together after years of drug use. He's funny, if you listen to him, but he can't hardly put a coherent sentence together. You know, oh, man, that was just wild and beautiful, man, and crazy. Like, you're really cool, and I'm just, you know, just starts rattling stuff off. And look at how Satan treats those he gives the glory of this world to. After a time, they usually die young, commit suicide. It's a horrible thing, but he will share it. And there is a great deal of pleasure for a time in what he can and does give. I will not deny that. But oh, the price you're going to pay for it. He always makes you pay the price when he shares it. But now let's get to the shouting part of it. Jesus Christ will not share his glory, but he'll give us the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. He'll give us the Holy Spirit. Glory to his name. And that Holy Spirit will bring us everything we're ever going to need as a human being because Jesus Christ won it for us on the cross. That's why only he's worthy. That's why the Holy Spirit will only flow through the cross of Calvary. That's why you may have a presence. And that's for years I've heard people say it. Well, bless God, I felt something when I went there. Well, just because you felt something, again, don't mean it's from God. Is there discernment there? What did they do? Did they glorify Jesus? Playing Van Halen don't glorify Jesus. Yeah, you can go there and feel something. I used to go to rock concerts. I felt a whole lot. I mean, you'll have a good time, you know, for a while. Y'all laughing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You did the same thing, didn't you? Everybody's laughing, just told on yourself. But, you know, and that's what man has tried to do. They've tried to bring the world into the church because they so loved that time when they were like that. Can I tell you, I don't miss it a bit because I got something that's far, far better now when the Holy Ghost of God flows through my soul. My Lord, the way he moves and blesses me, I'd rather be in our little gathering tonight where I felt the Holy Ghost than being the biggest of arenas giving it this, you know. Because when we go home tonight, there'll be joy. There'll be peace when we lay our heads on our pillows. When I went home from those things, Most nights, nobody knew it. I lay awake trembling because I knew I was on my way to hell. There's no peace there. There's no peace there. So no man speaking but the Spirit of God, or only someone, only the Holy Spirit can enable us to praise Jesus Christ. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There's two deep diametric issues there in verse 3 that we're dealing with. And they're for our instruction. And what I hope you see is what was going on in the first century church is going on today. But it's more multiplied today because we're so near the end of this age. We are. Every day I become more convinced that the rapture of the church could happen before we get out of this service tonight. And praise God for that. We should live watching and looking. Why? Because it keeps us focused where we need to be focused. Because, men, we're all so easily prone to drift. Every last one of us. But if we keep our focus on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit continually flows into us. 24/7, 365, He don't sleep. It blesses me to know He's making changes in me while I sleep. Bonnie's happy over that. I shout in time for her when I say the Lord's changing me even in my sleep. Her, she don't need no changing. I ain't no dummy. We got a comfortable couch, but I like laying next to her the night. Well, I'm going to close there, but verse 3, I really wanted to take time to break down the importance of what verse, because it's the foundation for the rest of this chapter. Chapter 3 is the foundation for everything else we're going to go into now about gifts of the Spirit. But what I wanted you to see and know is that there's only two sources of any spirituality, demon spirits or the Holy Spirit. And that's what verse 3 is covering. And we must discern every spiritual thing that's going on to see if it's of God or not. And sometimes, let me say this before we close. There may be something go on that we personally don't like. If the Holy Spirit might be convicting us over something, ooh, boy, we don't like that. He'll make us feel so uncomfortable at times, the Holy Spirit will, if He's dealing with us to change something in our life. Oh, my. Sometimes I can think real quick of the most uncomfortable times I've ever had with God is when He's said, I want you to let me change this, or you need to stop this or that. And sometimes He hadn't always told me why. Really. He just said, I want to make this change. And I'm asking you to allow me to change you in this area. And without fail, it's usually always something that I want to keep on doing. You know? Really. But when I've submitted to Him, and there have been times like Paul and all people of God, I've kicked against the pricks, you know. But God has a way of bringing His children under, lovingly so, and sometimes using a little bit of pain and uncomfortableness to do it. But when He's finally got me and wooed me to where He wanted me to be, oh, what a blessed time it was. Mom, did you have something to say there before we close? Well, a believer can't. Only somebody who's hungry after the true things of Jesus can't stay in that kind of environment. Uh-huh. Why do you watch it? That's a good convicting question, Mom. I ain't going to back down from it. That's a good question. Yeah. I'll say this. I will say this. I've probably got a long way to go there, you know, that the Lord's got to work on me. Yeah. But probably, if we'll be honest, all of us are in that same boat in some form or fashion. Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's guys, I tell you, it's hard to let the Lord separate us from this world. I mean, we kick against the pricks, and that's what the sanctification process is, really, you know. And none of us are fully sanctified yet, you know. No, nobody's, until we get in a glorified body. I mean, you know, my thing might be a American Idol, you know, that I shouldn't be watching, but it's like I love how Brother Larson put it. He said, you know, the sanctification process is a buffet. You know, eat off your own plate. In other words, we all got enough going on in our own lives for the Lord to deal with because we're none fully sanctified. But, you know, and that's, yeah, Paula. Yeah. That's good, Paula. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, yeah. That's the sanctification process, yeah. That's so good, Paul. Yeah, there are things now, praise God, that I did maybe even last year that I don't do anymore. You know, as the Lord has brought me. Now, again, I'm not where, you know, God knows I ain't all the way sanctified, but I can look back and see where he's made a lot of changes in my life. Is what? Growing in the Lord, that's a good, nothing wrong with saying it that way. That's sanctification, really, growing in the Lord. Vonnie.
It's like you said before, if the Holy Spirit revealed to us all at once everything that we were doing wrong.
Oh, Lord, we'd all fall down and just quit. If he showed us right now everything that's wrong with all of us and said, I got to fix all this, well, we'd be down at Meadows on the wrong side of the restaurant, if you know what I'm saying. We wouldn't be on that side where they make the grilled cheeseburgers. We'd be out there at that spot where the ugly colored lights are, you know, just trying to find some relief, thinking, woe is me, you know. But praise God. But that's again why we focus on the blood of Jesus and his grace and mercy. Praise God. Because we're none going to be there until we're in a glorified body. You know, there'll be something there till when the rapture happens. That's why I've heard people say, bless God, you've got to be holy to go into rapture. Well, you do. You do. But the length of your skirt or how high you're wearing your hair is not going to determine whether or not you go in the rapture. That's like I heard Brother Swaggart say one time. He said, if some brother or sister slips and they're in the bar having a beer because they've had a weak moment and the trump sounds, if their faith is still in Christ, just because they're having a weak moment, now it's going to make some of you uncomfortable. I can't help it. You're going. You're going. You say, oh, Pastor. Well, you may not be in the bar when the trump sounds, but every one of us, without the blood of Jesus, have something going on in our lives that would prevent us from going in that rapture, for not for his precious blood. Praise God. Praise God. But here, boy, the Holy Spirit's pressed me on this. I'll close on this, I promise. It's 8:05. Yeah. When he wants to excise anything from our life, okay? Or if he points out, I want you to quit this. And maybe it's something we've been knowing is wrong for a long time. Here's what it is. I can fully understand a believer who's struggling with a sin. And you say, what do you mean? I was going to name something, okay? Let's say it's a drinking. That in that one area, they love the Lord, they're saved, washed in the blood, could even be filled with the Holy Spirit, talking in tongues, baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost. But yet every now and then, they slip back in, and they try to do it in secret. when nobody sees, they're taking those sips of Jack Daniels or hitting the, or whatever kind of alcoholic beverage it may be, wine, beer, whatever. And but yet at the same time, they know that when they do that, after they do it, they feel bad about it. They're like, Lord, help me on this. The Lord will hover near that believer to help them through that. And he'll keep working with them. As long as there's that in their heart, this is wrong. Here's where the trouble comes, though. It's when the Holy Spirit points out that sin and we try to justify it because we don't want to let go of it. That's the most dangerous place you can be in as a believer. It's when you're trying to whitewash it. Well, it's really not that bad. I mean, you know, I'm better than Charles Manson. You know, relative righteousness, you know. I haven't done it. Well, at least I'm not like Sister So-and-so. Please, please, please. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you and trying to excise some kind of whatever it may be from your life, and you know it's wrong, that's good you know it's wrong as a believer. That's good you feel conviction over it. Hallelujah. That proves the Holy Spirit's there. Because before we could do these things and feel no harm. Let him have his way. Don't try. Don't try to make something right wrong and wrong right. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because that's dangerous for a believer to do that. That you need to feel good about that awareness when he's dealing with you that this is wrong. Yeah, Mike. Yeah. You sure do. Yeah. That's good, Mike. Yeah, think of that. Now it's out in the open. And you know why I believe that is, Mike? Is because they haven't been taught the cross, and they can't get victory over it. So they're trying to find some way in their mind to still get into heaven, you know, with their sin. Because they haven't been taught right from Scripture. Because God will give them victory over that. Even something as abhorrent as homosexuality. If that brother or sister has a weak day, and slips in that realm, but yet they know it's wrong, and they come back to God in repentance. God, I'm sorry. He understands our weakness. When we're agreeing with him, Lord, I know this is a sin. I want it out of my life. The danger comes is when preachers and Christians start doing, well, it's all right, you know, or try to twist Scripture. Well, you know, yeah, Jesus turned water into wine, and the Bible says that David and Jonathan had a love like the love of women. No, 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 no. You're twisting Scripture there. Because there are so many other places where Scripture openly condemns drinking and the act of homosexuality. Yeah, Paul.
I think that when a preacher gets into doing that, if you look at their faith and
you're right.
The more they feel that they can work their way to heaven.
Exactly. God's grace covers all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, Paula. That is so. Yeah, yeah. And then they discover that the works aren't giving them victory. You know, then the only thing left to do is start to twist Scripture then, and try to make it say something it doesn't, that agrees with your sin, rather than mankind agreeing with God that yes, it is a sin. You know, mankind then twists the word to make it agree with him. So, good, yeah.
Back in the 80s, when I first started going to church, they always made jokes about the Methodists being sipping saints.
Yeah.
But you never seen that in the charismatic
Pentecostal world, no.
People did it, but behind closed doors, they would.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, preachers are saying, why didn't you don't get drunk? Why don't you get drunk?
Yeah, that's just so. You know, alcohol itself is a spirit. I'm here to tell you, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk. No, I'm not going to share that. Should I, Bonnie? I'll do it another time. Got to let you go home. I'll send you home on the high note, like Colonel Tom Parker always used to say about Elvis. Boy, always leave him wanting more, you know. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you. You've been a great class tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we so want the movement, operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. Lord, we want the real thing. We don't want phoniness. We don't want chicanery. We don't want demon spirits, certainly. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through this study, that you'll take us deeper into your word and into the blessedness of the operation and movement of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you that we've experienced that tonight, and we experienced that on a systematic basis here in this church. And it's not because we do everything so right. It's because of who we worship and where our faith is. And we worship Jesus Christ, and we give him praise and glory, knowing that what he did for us on the cross is the only thing that can make us right and keep us right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with each and every one tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.